Welcome to the Nui Tech People podcast. My name is James McDonald. I spend my days interviewing some of the most innovative people working in the tech industry and hear some amazing stories. Each fortnight, we release a new episode sharing these conversations. This podcast aims to showcase the tech projects happening right here in Newcastle, provide key resources to help you grow your tech career, and share insights into the future of the Newcastle tech scene. Hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to another episode of Nui Tech People. On today's episode, I interview Justin Bain, CEO of 3ME Technology. 3ME Technology, a bit of a hidden secret in Newcastle technology scene. Guys based in Cardiff there, and they operate in the electric vehicle systems and energy storage. So they're working in and around batteries, and they're doing some really cool stuff, not only in the mining industry, but with the military and also marine. So a really exciting episode. I'm keen to share Justin and the 3ME story with the Newcastle technology scene. Hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to another episode of Nui Tech People. Today we have Justin Bain, CEO of 3ME Technology. Welcome, Justin.
Thanks, James. Pleasure to be here.
I learned about you probably 6 to 12 months ago, and my mind was blown that a story like 3ME Technologies is local to Newcastle. I couldn't believe what you guys were working on, so the scale of which you guys, the projects you're working on. For those that don't know who you are, because I believe you are sort of a hidden secret, give people a bit of an overview.
Yeah, we have been hiding away in Cardiff there, chipping away. It's great, been in the business for 3 years now to come up for a breath and get out and talk about what we're doing. So 3ME Technology, we do electric vehicle systems for mining, military and marine applications. We're a prime systems integrator with a proprietary battery system and a few other bits of tech on their way.
All right, mate, let's break that down a little bit. For people that don't know what it is, like I've walked into your offices in the warehouse there, and we're seeing, you know, big diggers and, you know, big mining machinery, which have been retrofitted with batteries. Mate, for people that don't understand, can you give people a bit of an overview of what you guys sort of do in most layman terms we can do?
No, sounds good. I was going to delegate that answer to you and say, you know, when you came out to Cardiff, what did you see? What did you think? But yeah, that's right. We generally on the workshop floor have at least, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 different platforms undergoing various stages of integrations. So that may be a retrofit, so from a diesel platform over to full battery electric, which we do with our close vehicle OEM partners. And then we build batteries. We build batteries for the highest, deepest and toughest applications.
Yeah, right. Highest, deepest, toughest. So we're talking military. I know I've seen like a little 4x4 vehicle that you were doing that was to be used in military as well as, you know, deep underground mining vehicles.
Yeah, so talking through the highest. So at the moment we're building batteries for a large eVTOL, a large cargo drone partner. And then talking deepest, underground mines has been a big focus of the company. Battery systems, battery electric vehicle systems for mining applications. And then in the marine sector, some projects are in the pipeline in that space as well.
Very nice.
But yeah, toughest talking to the defence, military applications, a few projects on the books there from soldier system, battery systems through to electric vehicle systems.
Hey, we'll get to the office fit out, the warehouse fit out in a second, because I was super impressed when I went out there. But for those that don't know where 3ME came from or how it come about, this, you know, startup to scale up journey, can you give people an overview?
Yeah, so the company has had a long history of research and development in the automotive electric vehicle space. And then I was approached around towards the end of 2017 by one of the investors in the company and said, hey, the company doing cool stuff, electric vehicle systems. We want to take it into the mines and we want to take it into the military and we want your help doing it.
Yeah, nice. You came from an army background, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Why is a guy like you approached to come and join this company?
Yeah, so I was an officer in the army. I went through Duntroon, the Royal Military College down in Canberra. I was a signals officer initially. So technical background in regards to that, but in a broad management perspective. I guess what officers in the army do is problem solving, strategy, leadership, and blank sheet of paper for the business plan. Get on board, sort it out.
So we'll stay there for a sec. So The Army best set you up with that sort of the more leadership skills? Is that probably the best platform that the Army provided you for your career?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, definitely. Certainly from the human resources management perspective, you know, you manage small teams, large teams, you know, working in conjunction with foreign nationals, foreign militaries. So very broad leadership experience.
Yeah, nice. And then you've obviously been able to take some of those core skills and take them out from Army world into, you know, corporate world or startup world, which is obviously going through those growth pains as well that come along with startup to scale up.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of the skills are very transferable. I think you touched on it just then. Obviously, startup to scale up, you know, does require a lot of resilience, and that's certainly something that you pick up in your time in defence.
Yeah, cool. I think the other part as well is just that the having to wear many hats, right? You sort of made mention of it before in the Army. You're having to problem solve and, you know, look at different situations and probably play different parts within your role in different situations. And then you've obviously taken that to the startup world.
Yeah, definitely multiple hats when you're running a tech company. We've got a diverse workforce. I mean, we do a lot of engineering. We do the tech development. You know, we're progressing into production. Obviously, there's arms of, you know, getting cash in the door to keep the business on its fast trajectory. So it's very much a multi-hat job.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear from my perspective. I interview a lot of tech professionals in particular, and you're obviously the CEO of a tech company now coming from that Army background. You're not the first, I don't think. I think I have one other guy on here that had that military background. But I think it's, and he spoke very, very strongly of, again, leadership and team building as a, you know, core aspect. But it's definitely not the common path for the CEO of a tech startup.
Yeah, well, I think when you're in the military, you know, say as a troop commander, I mean, you're solving problems, you're pulling together a team to plan a mission, you know, whether it's more deliberately planned or whether it's a, you know, short notice type thing. But you're getting people together in a room with different capabilities, and you're solving a problem. And, you know, that's what we're doing at 3ME. We're solving problems.
Yeah, nice, mate. You've got three core markets that you're solving problems for. How have you gone about building out the team at 3ME? Because as you said, you've gone from a smallish team to growing and growing pretty rapidly. And I know you've got good, solid plans ahead, aggressive plans ahead for future growth. So how have you gone about growing that team there?
Yeah, so I think the growth has started initially. I mean, when the team was very small, it was a lot of recommendations from, yep, we know this person, let's get them on. Obviously, working on exciting tech, the recruitment has been pretty easy. And then now getting into that next stage of growth, you know, obviously we've used new tech people for recruitment, and we're, you know, we do get also a lot of direct approaches. You know, people might see a snippet of something on LinkedIn or in the media and say, hey, you know, there's electric vehicle systems, doing it in Newcastle, interesting markets, keen to get involved.
Yeah, definitely. I think your company, your industry are definitely appealing to a lot of people. Speaking of which, that whole battery is a global trend. I think it's going to continue to grow. Where have you seen, I guess, the macro trends from that space, you know, impact 3ME?
Yeah, so there's a global energy transition happening at the moment, and obviously a core part of that is batteries. Even with hydrogen systems and other, you know, future fuel cells, you know, batteries still play a, you know, huge part in this transition. And there's a lot of people doing batteries, and a lot of large multinationals doing batteries. So where we're targeted is that highest level of safety and compliance, and systems that are more modular and scalable to meet our customers' requirements.
Yeah, nice. Mate, I'd love to talk about some of these projects in a little bit of detail. It's fascinated me learning more and more about them. So if you had to talk about, you know, a couple of the most exciting projects you've been working on of late or coming in the future, I'm sure some of them are still confidential, but let's talk about the ones we can. And what are some of the more exciting projects from your side?
Yeah, I was going to say the most exciting ones are in the tents. So we've got a few tents set up now for the more private projects that are progressing along. But certainly, you know, just comparatively excitable. We've bought an EV project that we did in collaboration with Safescape. So that was the electrification of a 3.5-ton utility vehicle, mostly focused in underground mines, but obviously can be used in a number of other applications.
Mate, so I come out and seen your offices in the warehouse, seen them, all these vehicles there, as well as obviously the technical guys working on stuff, which is way above my technical knowledge. Mate, you live and breathe it every day. For those that don't know what it is, can you break it down? You know, what are you guys doing on a day-to-day basis?
And just off the back of that, I think I'm not one of those smart technical people either. So I think our chief BD officer generally does a good intro and says, you know, the business is full of, you know, a huge number of smart people, growing number of smart people, of which JB and I are not.
But we need our type as well.
I'll explain to you what a battery electric vehicle system is. That's a pure battery powered system. We're also involved in some hybrid projects, but breaking down, say, the Bortana EV, it has two batteries, one in the front, one in the rear. These batteries are assembled by 3ME in Cardiff. We have a proprietary battery management system and a proprietary cell management system, which is where, I guess, our point of difference comes into play with a provisional patent that's in progression. And so we build the batteries. The batteries get installed. The batteries connect to a power distribution unit that has one-stop safety shop with isolation and other requirements to meet mine site specs. There's a charger. There's a motor. So the system runs DC, but the motor controller is effectively like an inverter. And then we have a permanent magnet motor, which is, I could almost lift up the one in a 3.5 ton vehicle, but, you know, it's 350 Newton meters of torque. So,
wow.
You know, highly efficient, great tech. So we import the motors. We have a custom charger in partnership with a Dutch US company. We build the batteries and make a system. The software ties it all together,
yep.
Which is another core part of the business, the vehicle control system architecture.
So a really key point for you guys is obviously the building of the batteries and that building of those integrations between the systems.
Yeah, so what we're not is we're not a vehicle OEM, so we're working in conjunction with vehicle OEM partners. So we'll assist them with, it may be just supply of batteries, it may be a full system integration, it may be just a individual component that they don't have as part of their broader architecture. So we have that kind of sliding scale of products and services.
I love that. I love companies that know exactly what they do, what they are and what they're not, and they don't try to be everything to everyone. I think there's some real success in really knowing your spot and being just really good at that. Have you guys seen some success on the back of, hey, this is what we do it better than anyone, and then just the build and growth from there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one of our core values is nail our niche. And so, you know, batteries, if the company was like an onion ring, you know, at the core is our battery system. Outside of the battery system is the software that ties together the battery and also the vehicle architecture. And then we have this exclusive access to some certain components around the periphery. Digitization is a space that we're driving into as well, because the systems are, you know, deployed in the field. We're getting the data off them. We're supporting them remotely. And so what we've done quite recently is broken our technology down into three key pillars, or calling them spears, so they're not silos.
Yeah.
But and we've got power solutions, digitization and mobility as the three core pillars.
Yeah, nice. And out of those projects, I'm sure there's some exciting things that we can't talk about here, but maybe for the things we can talk about, can we go into a couple of those projects that you've been excited about working on?
Yeah, so what is in the public domain is a project called Project EV Mine, so electric vehicles mine. As part of that was the electrification of the Bortana EV and the Tritev in conjunction with our vehicle OEM partners, and Aeris Resources being one of the mining companies. So that was a 3-year-long project because it went from its infancy of, you know, plans on a page to modelling, through to the system integrations, through to the trials out at mines. And what's really exciting is that these projects, it hasn't just been R&D, they're into production. You know, we're into beta phase, we're into production, and they're ramping up. So that's been a core focus in the mining industry.
Mate, on those just for a second before we go into the next phase, because I'm sure Defence and Marine might come in here as well.
Yeah.
But in particular that mine, what does your project mean for mining companies or for the actual machines themselves? What problem do you solve there?
Yeah, so three words would be safety, performance and sustainability.
Yeah.
So I guess diving into the safety aspect, you think of an underground mine, you know, you've got miners down there surrounded by vehicles that are pumping out diesel exhaust, there's heat, you know, it's noisy. And then you think about replacing that vehicle with a battery electric vehicle that is almost silent, so very quiet. Heat generation is reduced significantly, which impacts a lot on the ventilation infrastructure. We're trying to pump air conditioning down into these mines. Someone's given me the analogy one day about, you know, blowing down straws, and, you know, the further you get down the mine and the pressure and trying to keep these places ventilated. So, yeah. You know, we're creating that, removing the diesel particulate matter, which is a known carcinogenic, you know, like asbestos.
Yeah.
We're creating a quieter environment from a hearing perspective,
yeah.
And a more enjoyable environment. I mean, the platforms, you know, drive better. The one challenge is meeting the duty cycles for the range. And we've been able to do that through onboard charging infrastructure at the voltage for the underground mines.
Yep.
So effectively every location where they have these jumbos or these DCBs becomes your charging network.
Yeah, right. Wow. So this is, you mentioned you're still early-ish in this. Is we've got multiple vehicles out there running this at the moment. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, so the Bortana EV, Safescape, our partner, they've deployed that underground in Bendigo, underground over in WA. The beta phase is in full swing. So those platforms will be ramping up on mines this year. The Tritev, the 20-ton loader, is in its beta phase. So there's, you know, orders on the books and platforms getting built.
Nice. Fantastic. You're building a lot of that here in Cardiff and then shipping it out.
Yeah, that's right. So I think that was on the safety side of things. Performance, I think we covered in terms of, you know, the electric motors is, you know, instant torque, and they're far more efficient than combustion engines. So the performance and the combining that those digital motors with our software profiles, you're able to have a roadmap to autonomy and get a much, much better performance out of the platforms.
Yeah, right.
You know, sustainability is a core focus of the business. Obviously, reducing the greenhouse gas emissions through taking those diesel platforms out of operations. Quite exciting seeing a lot of mining companies moving to having solar arrays and offsetting their greenhouse gas emissions with renewables.
Yep. And then I think you mentioned at some point to me in a different conversation about, I guess, saving some machines from, you know, the end of life as well, and the potential, yeah, to give them a longer life. Is that another part?
Yeah, that's right. So the platforms, we do achieve a lower total cost of ownership, and the retrofit model. So what some of the platforms are working on will take a secondhand one in conjunction with our partner. We've got a great partner over in Hexham Batmobile Equipment.
Yeah, right.
You know, they'll prepare a platform, we'll supply equipment, we'll collaboratively retrofit that, commission it and deploy it into operation. So yeah, it's a second life opportunities whilst we're churning through the retrofit phase and designing new platforms.
Oh, that's nice. On top of that project, as exciting as that is there any other projects you'd love to talk about?
Yeah, so another one in the public domain is one called C4 Edge. So it's a military project. The evolutionary digital ground environment is the edge part. And the C4 is the command, controls, computers, communications. Wow. I think I'll probably get smashed by some military mates on getting an acronym wrong after all my time in communications. Yeah, it's a really exciting project where we've got 17 Australian companies collaboratively working together to deliver a sovereign communication solution, so a battle management system solution.
And what does that look like for people that have no idea?
Yeah, so a battle management system is it's like your common operating picture or your tracker. You know, so if you think of this TV screen there, you turn it on, you can see where people are, you can communicate across the force. You know, there's radios involved, there's data involved. It's quite a complex network.
Yeah.
And our part in that project is the battery system, so the soldier level system, and then progressing to an interoperable battery unit system.
Wow. Mate, how do these opportunities come about? Obviously, you're in multiple different fields now and, you know, going down the marine path as well. How's that growth come about for 3ME?
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing kind of leads to another in certain situations. With this particular C4 Edge project, we were asked to present at a showcase for a land tender, of which we did, and of which we've had some positive progression in that space as well. And then that led on to an introduction, and we managed to put our capability forward. You know, having the operational background does cut through a lot of requirements, because you don't have to go on that steep learning curve of, you know, what's required, how does it fit in?
Yeah.
We can, you know, from a battery perspective, we can say we've carried this shit around. We're going to make it lighter and more energy dense than our competitors.
Yeah.
And we're Australian.
Yeah. And as you said before, I guess it just ties into what is the core of what you do. You know exactly what you do, and then, you know, you use that as you're in, and then you can build upon that, right? So Very nice. Mate, and have you seen, I guess, global trends play into the growth of where you're at the moment? Obviously, becoming more sustainable is a global trend. Do people like Elon Musk help your causes?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what's happening in the automotive space, is in my mind just the prediction of what's happening in the broader industrial space. So, we've got a partner in the Netherlands who's retrofitting construction equipment because of the Paris Agreement impacts on greenhouse gas emissions. Obviously, there's a huge shift in automotive electric vehicles. I mean, my mum's in her 60s and bought an electric vehicle and loves it, and it's like learning to drive again. Yeah. And so, yeah, there's a huge shift. Most people I speak to say, oh, the next one, next one's going to be an electric. And I'd say that, the four big trends in the automotive space and in this kind of electric vehicle space is, I think it was the AC, ES, so the automation, the connectivity, the electrification, and the shared mobility. Yeah. So, this driverless cars aren't, too far away. Electrification, I mean, the range on some of these new Teslas is phenomenal. There's no that range anxiety's out the door. Fast charging networks from companies like Tritium up in Brisbane, another Australian company. The shared mobility piece talks to the Ubers and turning your Model 3 into a robo taxi.
Yeah.
And connectivity, obviously, the having all the data out there, having all the systems interacting and all the smarts behind it.
Yeah. So you see it, obviously, are we tip of the iceberg here?
Yeah, we're certainly the tipping point has occurred. Like it's happening. For those that aren't in the industry, it does feel like you're in a space race or the dot-com days. So driving hard and fast to
be at the top of the
game and be at the top of the game.
Yeah, nice. See, obviously, as you said, the automotive industry is probably the one leading the path or most visible to everyone.
Yeah.
Where are the other industries that this is going to affect on the track?
Yeah. And just on the automotive piece, I mean, we saw that coming and saw the company previously working on automotive on-road platforms saw that, and we did projects, on Volkswagens and Mazda 2s and things like that. But, we saw the shift was coming and went, what are the hard targets that, as a small Australian company that we can go after and dominate before the wave comes and then build that strategic position. And so the other industries, I mean, it's coming across the construction industry, I think really good momentum growing in the mining industry and defence. Defence is kind of that longer term horizon, but starting to see the understanding and the uptake of the opportunities for electrification in the defence market.
Nice. Mate, the excitement of hearing about a startup to a scale up really excites me. There's a lot of companies that, go through that phase, and it's really exciting to sort of hear about their growth. One of the challenges of that is getting the right people on board. Obviously, you're facing that technical side of things, super technical, different variants of engineers, electrical engineers, software is playing a part in that. How have you gone about going from very small team to you're currently mid to high 20s, and that growth is going to continue to, take on? How have you gone about building that team out to date?
Yeah. So collaboration has been everything as we're growing, and just being able to, find the people who can gel with the team on a cultural front and can inject them, and they can just make themselves busy. And then it's almost that self-organizing. I know that's one of the agile terms or whatever, but we do find that the team kind of continues to self-organize itself, and we kind of then hit a point where we say, all right, Stop. We need a reorg. How do we get the next framework in place?
Yeah.
But we keep the business very flat. But there is obviously a core need for structure as well. So trying to find that happy medium where we inject the next level in.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I think it's one of the growing pains for a lot of people is structure. I think there's a lot of value in being small and agile, and then you have success on the back of that, and then you grow and you need more capability. And how do you build those same, small and agile principles into a growing team? And it's a challenge a lot of people face.
Yeah, and I think one of the common misconceptions of someone who's come from a defense background is like, oh, but you must have had so much structure and you had all the resources, and it must be really difficult for you, growing things. But the reality is, in defense, particularly on operations, is you might get sent over with a couple of people, with a handful of people, and you're starting things from scratch and you're building capability, and you have to use the resources that you have to achieve an effect. And then when you have the opportunity to get more resources, then you start achieving more effects and you start growing the structure, then you reorganize and you keep growing. But I think one of the really good things about, you know, defense people, certainly from particular organizations, is, you know, it's a constant growing capability. How do we make this better? What do we do next?
Yeah. Oh, mate, there's a lot to do with that. You know, that agile, consistent improvement, I really like that. And you're up to, it's the mid to high 20s at the moment. What does future growth look like? I know you guys are definitely on a growth curve. What's future growth look like for you?
Yeah, so we need to double the tech and engineering team over the next 12 months at least. We're driving into production scale up. So there's a new production workforce that we'll need to bring on board. From a technical perspective, I mean, we're pretty broad on who we can inject in: the traditional software engineers, mechatronics, PCB hardware engineers, and then on the electrical space, it's, you know, electrical engineers and electricians.
Nice. Exciting times. Exciting times, that obviously challenging times as well. Challenging from a positive perspective, in, you know, you're just dealing with different challenges. What might have been a challenge for you when you were a really small team is the more technical side. To, you know, when you're at 20 mid high 20s and beyond, it's just different challenges. You're talking about people and culture challenges as well. I know culture is a big important part. I think that's come up in most of the conversations I've had with you, which is it's uncommon. I would say you actually give that a lot more thought than most people.
Probably have previously, to a certain extent, kind of compromised on culture when you've got such a small team and you've just got to deliver on capability. But now we're getting to that point. It's like, no, if I would, it's do not compromise on culture. We're growing the team, but also in terms of culture, I've probably tried to be less forceful on, like, this is how we're creating the culture, this is what we're doing, and just kind of, we just, you know, get on with business, keep getting people who are aligned, the right people aligned to the business, into the business, and just keep driving it forward, and then it kind of, you know, it builds itself.
I guess the industry you're in as well probably provides you the opportunity to do that. I think somebody that's showing a keen interest in, you know, what 3ME Technology is about, the industry that you operate in, I think getting people those key interests in that can obviously lend themselves to positive culture.
I mean, a great example is we've got a guy on at the moment and he saw us on the news, NBN News, with the electric loader. Yeah. He contacted the company and said, hey, I'm studying a mechanical engineering degree at the moment at UNE. You know, I've got this 12 weeks work packet to do. Would love to, you know, if there's an opportunity. We said, yep, come on in. And he's been, you know, outstanding. You know, he's been phenomenal. Unfortunately, we've got to send him, it's part of a Navy program. We've got to send him back.
Yeah.
But it's been great just getting those direct approaches and driving ahead.
Yeah. Fantastic. Mate, as a growing company, there's obviously opportunities aplenty. You guys continue to operate in Newcastle and Cardiff. Why Newcastle?
Surf.
Yeah. That's an easy
answer. One line answer. Yeah. Or one word answer. Yeah.
Mate, there must have been, as you're growing, right, you're building out teams, or you're building out your team here, the company's growing here.
The Newcastle offers a lot for 3ME. I mean, we've got proximity to partners in the mining vehicle space, the port from an import-export perspective as the business grows.
Yep.
You know, we're a stone's throw from Sydney, my perspective. You know, jump on a train if you need to go down for meetings, or access resources that aren't available, you know, from a high-level corporate perspective. Access to the uni. I mean, the uni's churning out some great, you know, next-gen technologists, a few of them in the company, and looking to continue to grow that out. We've got the Newcastle Institute of Energy and Resources. So, I mean, for us at the moment, Newcastle's got everything we need, including good surf.
Nice, mate. You mentioned the university there as well. You obviously come from a military background. You've got people there. You've got graduates coming through that, you know, university degrees. You've got more technical people, which obviously degree qualified. Have you found, you know, an optimum space or an optimum background for people?
Really mixed. I mean, if someone came through the door tomorrow morning and said, hey, I don't have a degree, but I'm self-taught in, you know, C++, and I've designed this in, you know, Altium or whatever, and could demonstrate the capability that they could inject into the company, then, you know, would get them involved. Yeah. And obviously there are certain positions that from a legislative or, you know, compliance perspective do need those formal qualifications. And we've got that in, you know, the electrical engineers, and we've got that in the hardware engineers from design reviews and compliance. But, you know, someone like that, you know, ideally you'd be able to support them injecting and being involved in the business concurrent to formalising some of the skills that they need to.
Yeah, so whilst a degree is important for some of the positions, or absolutely necessary for some of the positions, it's not for everyone.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, definitely.
Sounds like you're finding a nice mix there as well, because I think it's something that's ever-changing, right? Especially with more and more people with, you know, Raspberry Pis and things like that are becoming technical and tinkering. And I think, you know, that ability to tinker or the desire to, it can be a really good indicator for somebody that might have some success in a place like 3andMe.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've got a work experience going on at the moment. Just finished school. He's heading off to do a double degree in mechatronics and comp science. And we've had him on board for some work experience, and we've 100% put him to work.
Yeah.
Because the skills that even they're doing at school now in STEM, and obviously he's a passionate guy who's been doing a lot in his own time. But yeah it's really exciting. I mean, even my little boy Finn is 5, and you know, got to get him started on coding. Bring him in on the Friday afternoons.
Yeah. And how do you go about that? I've got a 7-year-old myself who I think we got him on Codable, and there was another platform as well, and he had a bit of a tinker with that in the holidays. Yeah. Mate, let's start at younger age, because then we'll go through. But if you had to give any advice to somebody that's got children that are interested in either STEM or coding, any advice?
Yeah, so there is a program that's running in Newcastle. It escapes me. Maybe we'll include it in the notes, whatever. But it has been recommended for entry level programming. But I think there's so much online now. I mean, you could sit down with your son or daughter on YouTube and find the right thing, and you know, order a Raspberry Pi off eBay and start tinkering.
Yeah, nice. And then mate, as they go through, like I think Newcastle University is absolutely fantastic, and some of the people that are coming through there, I think the quality is fantastic. Outside of uni degrees, you mentioned people that are tinker with it in their own time. Is there any advice you give to people, or is it just straight up start playing?
Yeah, so start playing. Because we work in high voltage battery systems, I'd say I'd have to caveat that with safety.
Yeah.
But I think it's about networking with the right people that are have a head start in that space or have experience in that space. Finding yourself a good mentor or getting involved in programs that are already available.
Yeah, nice. I think that mentorship as well. You just made mention of that.
Yeah.
It's something that's definitely becoming more common, I think, as an advice piece, is find somebody that's been there, done that before, or somebody that you can learn off.
Yeah.
And lean on them. Have you had any strong mentors in your career to date?
Yeah, definitely. And I think you're right. You need to kind of wake yourself up every now and then and say, I'm surrounded by, these great people within the network. Why not reach out? I did that recently with a family friend who's based in New Zealand. He's in the finance sector, and said, hey, what do you think? And he said, oh, well, you need to speak to this person, do this, and that's kind of kicked off a whole new thing. And yeah, so certainly just having reaching out and seeing who you already got in your network that may be able to actually support you. And people, if someone came to me and said, hey, Justin, I've seen you've done this in the military, do you have any advice on this, which people have? It's great to be able to impart some advice.
Yeah, I think that as well. I think most people don't understand the people that are being asked. If you go about it the right way, some people are short on time. Everyone's short on time, I guess. But most people will give their time and actually appreciate, giving advice if somebody's taking that on board. So I think, don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah.
Mate, you're a busy man. Obviously, you've taken a small company to a, significantly growing company. And what are the sort of productivity tools that you'd use to manage your day?
Coffee.
Yeah. I do that well. Yeah.
I mean, in terms of like software tools, mate, or things
software
like that,
productivity tools that you'd use to manage your day or manage your workload.
I mean, we use the standard rollout of the Teams and the planner and all that side of things. I think from a personal side of things, I've kind of taken the step back now to kind of get away from a few of those things and just make sure that it's not information overload on tasks and task management, and that I am correctly prioritizing what are true high value activities. And so the way I do that is I've got, it's almost like an A3 size piece of paper, and it's got you know, the days down one side, and I've just list my three high value activities for each one of those days to, I guess, hold myself accountable to doing the hard things,
yeah.
And focusing on what I believe to be truly, you know, high value problems to solve. And I'm trying to, I guess, this year coming up for a bit more of a breath, you know, get back on top of the healthy habits. So yeah, I'm up in the surf every morning, and yeah, diet, exercise, rest, recreation, attitudes of mind, tick them off each day.
That's a challenge, right? Really, very real challenge. I think everyone, especially during COVID, but I think everyone, you know, that's facing a, you know, highly stressful or, you know, entrepreneurial type role can easily prioritize work. There's always something more to be done, right?
Yeah, definitely.
If you had 40 hours a day, I'm sure you could work 40 hours a day or find 40 hours a day worth of things to do on a business, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. So, yeah, I've been more disciplined this year in terms of like weekends, and, you know, obviously, you know, families, so important, and you know, and when you are so busy, time can fly by. So, you know, I've got a little 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, so it'll make sure we're prioritizing time with wife and kids on the weekend. So weekends are definitely family, and that's now being sustained. And yeah, and during the week is pretty flat chat, which is why it's good to do this on a Monday, not on a Friday. It's generally pretty fragged by Friday.
No, totally understand, mate. I did the exact same myself, and I've definitely not on top of the healthy life habits at the moment. You obviously, none of this comes about by just chance. You do any ongoing reading, podcasts, any education you continue to look at for your ongoing growth?
LinkedIn's not always the one you want to be recommending or whatever, but certainly in the electric vehicle space, you know, there is a lot of good information that's kind of constantly churning around, I guess, because I'm following the right things or the right people in that space. So I do find that keeps me kind of on the, you know, on the edge of knowing what's happening and the announcements are and things like that. But yeah, I rely really heavily on the experts in the business that they're, you know, researching next cell technologies, that they're looking at motors and just getting the constant feeds from them.
So it's not trying to be the expert in everything, but actually hiring the people to be specialists, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I think one thing I do is I don't go deep unless I have to. And yeah, I think we've got some great experts in the business, and yeah, I mean the idea is growing a business is to keep, you know, keep trying to having to find yourself, make yourself relevant and get to the next level.
Yeah, nice. Obviously following people, you mentioned LinkedIn there, right? I have the same thing. If you follow the right people, you know, there is a lot of garbage there as well, but LinkedIn can be valuable if you're following the right people for the sort of right sorts of information. So is there anyone in particular that you follow that you'd make recommendations for?
It is quite focused on the EV automotive space, but I follow a guy called Paul Carter. He does a lot of release stuff on electric vehicles, and so that's a good one. And then on the battery tech, it can be a little bit adversarial, but a guy called Paul Martin, who's almost like the myth buster.
Yeah, right.
On, you know, someone makes a new release and then someone, you know, at Paul Martin, then he'll kind of tear it up or, you know, get the data behind it. So, yeah, there's a couple of ones off top of the head.
Oh, mate, it might give people that have got an interest in this, you know, somebody to follow as well. People are always looking out for that. Mate, if you had to wheel it all back and provide some advice for an earlier version of yourself, and any key piece of advice that you think's been life-changing?
I think on reflection, I think when you are, you know, when you are flat chat, whether it's in the military or in a startup, you know, scale up, I think, you know, you've really got to take the time sometimes to stop and, you know, enjoy the present or, you know, enjoy the process. And so, yeah, certainly focusing on that this year and really enjoying the process, like even when things are challenging, going, you know, this is all part of the process. And I guess focusing on the present a bit as well. You know, if you're down at Newey Beach in the surf at sunrise, it's good snap back into the present.
Oh, mate, for sure. Yeah, I think, mate, I've read something similar before about, you know, just enjoy the process, because, you know, the goal is that, you know, you only ever achieve that once, right? And it's a long way to get there, and sometimes it's never as special as you'd hope. But if you enjoy the process along the way, I think it's a lot more enjoyable to go through day-to-day life. You guys are obviously growing. We'll do a quick plug, mate. If people are keen to sort of reach out to you or interested in joining your team at some point, what's the easiest way to get in touch with you?
I'm probably not super efficient on LinkedIn, but yeah, certainly reaching out over LinkedIn. And if you're in the Newcastle area, I mean, we're on Moneybung Road down there in Cardiff. You won't miss us if you drive down Moneybung. So, you know, pull in, knock on the door, come through and have a chat.
Yeah, nice.
And obviously, you know, through the website, if coming through on, give us a call. Yeah.
Fantastic, mate. Thanks for your time today.
Excellent. Thanks,
Appreciate
James.
It.
Cheers.
you for listening to this episode of Newey Tech People. To stay up to date with all our episodes, our show notes, and past episodes, please visit www.neweytechpeople.com.au. Thank you.